And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, welcome to a special version of the show. Today, we will take a quick journey back to our youthful years long ago and consider a special cartoon movie that reminds us that having a heart is a good thing. We will discuss the spirit of Christmas, Dave, with all of its pomp and circumstances? No. Will we discuss the ridiculousness and the absurdity of the commercialism of Christmas? No. Will we support anyone, anywhere who tries to take the Christ out of Christmas? No. Well then, Dr. Dave, what? We will discuss the image of God that has captured too many Christians. Oh. Now, next, here's a sad truth. If you don't think God will say yes when we pray and change the universe in response to our faith, then we operate with the false image of God being stingy. That image encourages doubt and double-mindedness when we pray. Ouch. Finally, the truth is greater than our adolescent understanding of how God operates in the cosmos. He answers prayers in his way and in his time, and not according to our schedule. And because of his mercy, there are times he says no. That is where we are called to trust the Lord. Even if we don't get what God's doing, we're still called to trust him. And considering that our Father is a giver, perhaps we should have a different spirit. Consider the gift of Jesus Christ and that he gave you and me life in the first place.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk is what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, remember, it ain't professional radio. And how can you tell it ain't professional radio? Because I'm using the word ain't. So that should make it very clear. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, whether you're in San Diego, where right now it's 12:03, or whether you're in Dallas, where it's 2:03, or whether in New York, where it's 3:03, or whether you're in Aruba, which I don't know what time it is there. That's not the point. The point is you can do it right now. You can email david@hemustincrease.org, or you can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes, I'm just warning you, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing that your spiritual radio family has your back. Isn't that nice?
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. We will deal with your woundedness in just a little bit. Not quite yet. You guys will understand when we get there. In the meantime, if you've got a prayer request, call. I mean, you just do what Yvonne did. Just call. Pray for your, like her husband, Donald, who needs prayer. Or you got an answer. You could be like JD answering the trivia. Doesn't matter. We want you to engage. You can do it by text. You can do it by email. You can do it by calling in. I know you want to do it, some of you, by osmosis, thinking we're going to catch that, but I'm a little dull, so I'm not sure that's going to happen. What will happen is that you'll have an opportunity to answer trivia and to listen to different various teachings, plus some goofy jokes, maybe, and some history and some other stuff here or there and everywhere. And as we're doing all of this, what are we trying to do but get closer to the Lord? I mean, really, isn't that really the key? Here's your trivia question. How did Herod Agrippa, how did he die? Was he hanged, was he eaten by worms, or was he decapitated? Now, your reference point, Acts chapter 12, verse 20 through 23. How did Herod Agrippa die? Was he hanged, was he eaten by worms, or was he decapitated? Acts 12, 20 through 23. That is your reference point. If you want to reach out to us, you can. Again, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. There you go. In the meantime, we'll do our DNA. Because we have to live by DNA. This is the building blocks of your existence, and here we go. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day that ends with Y, spend some time with the guy in the sky. I mean, that's okay. All right. Every day. How much time? I don't know. Should it be in prayer or Bible? Both, but I don't know. You're going to have to work that out. That's your relationship. Your relationship with the Lord is like your relationship with anybody else. If you don't treat it like it's real, then it won't be real for you. Ooh, that's a tough one right there. Okay, that's the D of DNA. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. We talked about that in the last segment. Luke 9, 26, never, 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 never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say, ever. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which is a reflection of Jesus Christ, because Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And before you think, well, I don't know if I can do that. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. There is nothing you can't do in service unto the Lord. And he did that, by the way, for you too. And, oh, by the way, he did that and said, I'm setting an example. And, oh, by the way, that fulfills the law of Christ. And, oh, by the way, Jesus said, if you love one another, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another. So when you serve other people, you take care of them, you love them, you honor them, you bless them, you testify to Jesus Christ. It's good enough right there. All right, here's our trivia question. Then we have somebody on the line for it. The trivia question is simply this. How did Herod Agrippa die? Was he hanged? Was he eaten by worms? Or was he decapitated? Acts 12, 20 through 23 is your reference point, and somebody is on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, you're a little muffled. What's something on the phone? Try it again.
Oh, no. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now, even though it's like a commercial. Yeah, I can hear you now. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay.
I just asked if you had a good weekend.
I did have a good weekend. Thank you for asking me. I got a lot of stuff done. I was trying to get a lot of stuff done. There's a possibility that Noelle's family is going to come in the middle of January, so that requires preparation now. Anyway, that's honesty, isn't it? Okay. Let me ask you the truth question, and then we'll go from there. I'll let you hit it out of the park. How did Herod Agrippa die? Was he hanged? Was he eaten by worms? Or was he decapitated?
I think it was he was eaten by worms.
That is correct, Amundo! He was consumed by worms, and one of the reasons is because then they, when they were trying to be, you know, like trying to impress him, like he's such a great guy and all, and they said, oh, you speak, you sound like a god, and he didn't give glory to God, and the Lord went, watch this, people who fish are going to love you. Boom, and then worms they became. Excellent job, Deborah. Very, very good.
All right. Well, thank you, and I hope y'all have a good afternoon.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Phenomenal job. Phenomenal, 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 phenomenal. All right. I got to do it because I got to get this guy out of his misery. So you're just going to have to bear with me. I do this not just for you guys, to take care of you, help you, love you, just like you do for me, but we got to also take care of Jacob. So right now we're going to have to do Jake's Take. Well, Jacob, my friend, I will let you take the floor, and you can tell me how things went yesterday.
Things did not go well for the Cowboys. I don't know if it's a rude awakening or if they got exposed or, yeah, but they played the Buffalo Bills yesterday, and, yeah, did not go well, as the Bills pretty much from... By the end of the first quarter, I think the game was over.
Yeah, you mean for the first drive when they pushed the ball
right.
in? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, here's the truth of the matter. We are all hoping that Dallas was just I had heard a rumor that there was a lot of sickness going around in the group. Mm-hmm. And they had some stomach flu issues and other issues like that. So we're all hoping, well, that just a little kind of like thing. They have Buffalo, by the way, playing very good of late. So
because
they beat Kansas City, so they're doing pretty good.
Yep.
I do want to point out that while we will continue to root for Dallas, I am amazed that Detroit annihilated the Broncos.
Yes.
I mean, just like that wasn't even – See, that was the team I was hoping to watch last week. They did it this week, just last week.
Yep. And looks like the Lions might be back on track.
Yep, back on track. Right?
The Cowboys, they're such a weird team this year because for a little bit, they could only beat the bad teams. And then they beat the Eagles, who are a really good team. And so you think, okay, maybe they're actually an actual Super Bowl contender, but then they have the game like they did yesterday.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do in the postseason. We'll see.
Well, let's get this straight right now, and that is on the 30th of December, it will be Detroit and Dallas.
Yes.
Oh. See, I can't lose.
Coming up shortly.
Yeah, I mean, I can't lose on that one. I mean, how can I lose? It doesn't matter, because I like both teams. I'm sorry. That's just how I'm going to ride the middle right there.
Yep,
that's how I'm going to do it. Okay, so that's your update on Jake's Take. Excellent job, my friend.
Thank
very,
you.
Very good work. Let us move into our text. Okay. You guys have heard me teach before. So you know sometimes the teaching goes weirder than other times, don't you? Yeah, it does. So what is the title of today? And how are we going to approach this? It's pretty straightforward. Pretty straightforward. Do you remember the Grinch? Come on. Do you remember the Grinch? Remember the movie? Remember the cartoon?
The cartoon or
yes,
the Jim Carrey version?
Not the movie. That's not a movie. The cartoon.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Right? I mean, that one.
Right.
There, right? There you go. Here's the big thing. From a Christian point of view, God is not Santa Claus. Okay? No, Santa Claus is not a form of spelling God in such a weird way that it's satanic. Really? Then what do you do with the word dog, which is God backwards? Will you stop doing that? People just do stuff like that. Just stop it. Okay? Stop. God is not Santa Claus. But he's not the Grinch either. And here's the thing. The thing is, we act like God is the Grinch. You think, no, I don't. Really? So when you pray, do you ever pray in such a way as to try and pry it out of God's hand, the answer that you're looking for, ever? Because if you are, then you think God is the Grinch. And many people are thinking, now, hold on. Nope, nope, nope. We're going to be at 1 Kings 18, 22 through 39. You already know the story. They're on the Mount Carmel. We're going to get to that in a second. We're going to take our break before we do that, but I want you to catch this. Stop praying with the attitude that God is the Grinch. He's not the Grinch. Luke 12:32. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's not trying to withhold anything from you. It just has to do with us getting in sync with him. Oh, well, that's how that works. Oh, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What the issue is this guy hears the gospel from Philip, and in that presentation of the gospel is baptism. That is not negotiable in the sense that there's no way you can remove that. And he responds by saying, I want to be part of this family. I want to be connected to this. I hear the good news. I want the grace and the mercy. I want to do whatever it takes to show my response, not just to you, Philip, but to the entire world. I'm a Christian. And that's what baptism does. And while I think it's dangerous to say, if you're not, you can never get in, because I don't believe that's correct, I also think it's dangerous to say, nobody needs to do it. That's incorrect, too. Your baptism is an open proclamation of an inward work. Don't you ever forget, the Lord requires that. If you've never been baptized, get baptized. Oh, we've got to do it right this way. Arrange to get baptized. That's it. If you've never done it, you should do it. Because it's a declaration of your faith. That's the response to the gospel. You're saying by identifying, going down and up in baptism, the end of you, the beginning of him in you. Okay. That just seems like doesn't even seem like that's complex. I think everybody should just go, yeah, okay, got it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're just blitzing through another show. I don't know. Sometimes
flies
it
by.
It's just like, meow, 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 meow. All right, here we go. All right, it's enough of my sounds. Okay, here's your next trivia question. This is a really good one. What did God tell Noah would be the sign of his covenant that it would never flood the earth again? Is it one, the sunshine, two, the secret Noah handshake, or three, a rainbow? What did God tell Noah would be the sign of his covenant that it would never flood the earth again? He would never do it. It would never happen again. No, Dave, you don't understand. Global warming is going to flood the earth. No, biblically incorrect. God is smarter than the scientists on earth. Hello. What did God tell Noah would be the sign of his covenant that would never flood again? Was it the sunshine, the secret Noah handshake, or a rainbow? There you go. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in, 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is your little brother.
Hello, little brother. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Did you have a nice weekend?
Yes, fairly good.
Yeah, there you go. That's better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick right there. Right?
That's right.
That's right. All right.
Before I answer, I have to share something. I believe I heard the earlier trivia towards the end, but it seems like there is an error.
Uh-oh. Did we make a mistakey?
I think I could be wrong because, as I said, I heard the very end. I think you mentioned King Agrippa. Agrippa. However, that's a king. That should be King Harold.
It's Herod Agrippa was the name.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Okay,
then
I just, that's why I said I just caught the last part. So,
well, you are absolutely absolved, forgiven, redeemed, or anything, because you were never in danger in the first place, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. And the second thing, the reason the Buffalo won the game, because they had the Buffalo wing prior to the game. On the other side, the Cowboy had a nacho and a chili beans, so that's why they lost.
Aha! So the answer is in the food.
Yes,
okay.
Because Buffalo Wing gave them a little spice.
I got it. See,
and enthusiasm.
Okay.
Oh, burning to win the game.
Oh, my friend. You must have had a nice weekend. That's nice. All right, here we go. I'll set it up for you. You hit it out for me, okay? What did God tell Noah would be the sign of his covenant that would never flood the earth again? Was it the sunshine, the secret Noah handshake, or the rainbow?
Well, your sunshine wasn't invented at that time, and there wasn't any golden handshake, so I'll go with the rainbow.
You are correct, Amanda!
Yeah. Somewhere over the rainbow, so there won't be any.
Somewhere over the rainbow. That's exactly right. Excellent job, brother.
All right. Thank you, brother.
God bless.
Okay. Be blessed.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Let me get into this text. It's really cool. Now, just bear with me. And you think, I know you guys are, well, I've heard this before. Well, congratulations. I've been a Christian for 45 years. Some of you have been a Christian for 70, 75 years.
You've heard it before.
Okay, good. Not everybody's heard it before. And I've always found, I found the most amazing thing. I'm reading Luke chapter 12 today. Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 31, which is 11 verses. I found five new things that after I've read this over 100 times, I was like, I cannot believe I never saw that before. It's just amazing. So you know, always listen. You never know what the Lord's going to reveal to you. It's always much deeper than you think. But let's get to it. In the story in 1 Kings 18, 22 through 39, it was basically Elijah versus 450 prophets of Baal. Okay? This is the story. And I'm just summarizing it for time's sake. So you can always check it out and verify that it's correct. But it's 1 Kings 18, 22 through 39. And so there was a contest. What? We're going to have a contest? Yes. Just so you can know, Baal, by the way, this is Hadad Baal. That means the storm god. And so in this case, Elijah just set it up. He just said, look, I got an idea. You make an offering to your god. I'll make an offering to my god. And whichever god answers, that's the real god. And they were like, okay, great. So he said, what we'll do is we'll take bulls and we'll offer them and see what happens when that takes place. So there was two bulls. They choose one of the bulls. You prepare it first. There's so many of you. Call on your name of the Lord your God, but don't light the fire. Just call on your name. Let's see which one gets burned up with fire. So they do it. Verse 26 of Kings 18 says, they took the bull, they prepared it, they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. How long? Morning till noon. Baal, answer us, they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder. Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy or traveling. That word busy is in the bathroom. He's in the bathroom. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he must be awakened. They shouted louder, slashed themselves with swords and spears, as their custom was. Midday passed, and they continued frantically prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. So from morning till evening, they're dancing, and they're slashing themselves. Elijah's mocking them. I mean, this is humility 101, right? Elijah then steps in, takes 12 stones, one from each of the tribes descended from Jacob, whom the word of the Lord had come to say, you shall be named Israel. He arranges the wood, cuts the bull into pieces, and then he says, fill four large jars of water and pour it on the offering on the wood. They did it. He said, do it again. That's the second time. Do it a third time. Three times they doused the offering with water. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. Then Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel, and I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. 1 Kings 18:38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and it also licked up the water in the trench. What's the point? The point is that God is not Baal Hadad, the storm god. The Lord God Almighty is a responder to prayer. He answers your faith. He gives you that which you need. He doesn't do it in the method or the time you tell him to, but he always comes through because he never fails his kids. And there they are on the other side of Elijah, the prophets of Baal, and they're dancing and they're screaming and they're cutting themselves and they're doing this for hours and hours and hours. Here's the whole thing. You don't have to dance and slit your body up in order for the Almighty to respond to you. You don't have to cut yourself in order for God to hear you. God isn't into performance orientation. This isn't a circus act. That's not what this is. When you and I pray, what's the one key ingredient we need in prayer? Faith. And we need to pray in faith. So if you pray going, Lord, I know you can do this, you probably won't, but I know you can. Even if you don't say that and you think it, it's in there. He knows it. That's not how you pray. You pray knowing he can do it, submitting it to his will, but knowing he can do it. If he elects not to do it, that's his decision, and you say praise your name because you know best. But you pray with an expectation and an anticipation until he says otherwise. And you don't dance around, cut yourself, make a big production. You don't have to do that. Unless the Lord really calls for it. And I know that sounds weird, like a weird caveat, but in Solomon's case, he dedicated the temple. A little different scenario right there. It really wasn't the simple thing that everybody else thought it was. But when you're praying, you can just say the truth. Answer me, Lord. Answer me. And then you got 10 things to pray about. Go and pray the second thing and pray the third thing and say the same thing. Answer me. And by the way, in this particular text, Elijah says, so that the people will know that you are God, you should ask for answered prayer so that you can share that testimony. If you're not going to share it, that's not very cool. You got to be willing to share what the Lord's doing in your life, right? But God is not the Grinch, and you don't have to dance for him, and it's not about performance orientation. When I come back, I'm going to tell you about the very first time that the Lord spoke to me, that wasn't a negative. That was a positive. We're going to cover that in just a little bit. Take a break here. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Confronted by the unimaginable, look at how some of the Bible heroes responded. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when the Lord promised her a son in old age. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered. That's Genesis 18:13. Zechariah, priest in the temple, asked, how can I be sure of this to Gabriel? I am Gabriel, the angel answered. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Luke, this is out of Luke 1:19. In other words, God was saying, God can do this. Mary exclaimed, how are you going to do this? When Gabriel brought her that great news of her son that she would bear, the angel assured her, nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37, the disciples questioned Jesus, and he answered them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. The Lord reminded the prophet Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Praise to him who is able. Listen, this is Ephesians 3:20. Praise to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Finally, when life just seems impossible, we can memorize and believe and agree with the Apostle Paul's conclusion of all his personal struggles, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is in Philippians 4:13. Darkness comes. This is from John Piper, this next statement. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can ever conceive of. So wait and pray without ceasing and hope. I think that this kind of thought process, it's not name it and claim it, it's just believing that God is the God that can do anything, is applicable for his kids to operate in when their situation seems impossible, that we deal in the truth of the possible that God brings. You're here when I need you the most, when I need you the most. I never need to. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question, which is based on some of the teaching we just had. Well, I don't know if it was teaching or encouragement. Either way. So Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. We just talked about this. Here's your trivia question. On which mountain? Was it Mount Hor, Mount Sinai, or Mount Carmel? If you want to say Carmel, that's fine. Mount Hor, Mount Sinai, or Mount Carmel? What mountain did Elijah challenge the prophets on? I did mention it in the very beginning of the teach. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. You can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. By the way, your text reference is 1 Kings 18:18-19. I did mention it when I was talking, which is funny, but it is also just a few verses before what I was teaching on. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal on which mountain? Mount Hor, Mount Sinai, Mount Carmel. 1 Kings 18:18-19. If you think you know, 972-445-0770, 214-210-8483 to text. david@hemustincrease.org is the email. Going to send you up to the website and remind you that on the website there is an opportunity to give. There's an opportunity to fill out forms for prayer requests and praise reports if you don't want to do it on the air. There is also the ambassador information. We do have a new bumper sticker up there. By the way, a shout-out to Jeanette. I will get you those bumper stickers, but it's going to be later in the week because we had just a little bit of a hiccup, so I'm just telling her on the air so she can know. Bottom line, you can check it all out. Plus, you can give. We have four different systems for giving to make it as easy as we can. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org. Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka,
ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka. That's what I said. All right. All right, so you got two options right now. We can do jokes. There's three short ones, or you can do history. I'm going to let Jacob choose.
Let's do history first.
Okay. History it is, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right. Today, this is going to be one of the weirdest ones you've ever heard. I'm just telling you now.
Oh, here we go.
All right. First of all, it's Bake Cookies Day, which is, that's all good, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Right? Like that one? All right. Snowflake Appreciation Day. Okay. I don't have a problem
almost
with that.
Christmas time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Liking that. National Wear a Plunger on Your Head Day. I'm sorry.
Yep. That's definitely the most random one.
Yeah. That's the one you got to think. Who and how? Right? Who and how did they come up with that one? 1932 on this day, December 18th, the first NFL pro football playoff game took place on this day.
Wow.
1932. Interesting. 1964 on this day, the Pink Panther cartoon series. You know, that's from there. I did not even know this, and I am not kidding you. I just saw it right now. 1966. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Dr. Seuss story, makes its debut, narration Boris Karloff, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. Come on. Is that for me? That
I don't know. Did you plan that?
I did not.
We have to remember, too, December 18th, 2024, we're both coming here to the station with plungers on our heads.
That's right. Look for us on the news. Anyway, that's what we got. All right, your trivia question will go into the chat. I really did not plan that. I just saw it. It's just hilarious. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal on which mountain? Mount Hor, Mount Sinai, or Mount Carmel? 1 Kings 18:18 through 19, if you think you know. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But wait, Dave, don't I have to do this? God demonstrates his own love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But wait, Dave, don't I have to say, do, think, that? God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You were a sinner when Jesus died for you. There's no performance orientation going on here. It's not a circus act, like we said. It's unconditional love. Remember, I told you guys this before. I'll tell you again. I have no problem telling you 100,000 times over. So my very first time the Lord spoke to me was that that's enough. Okay, that was back in the drug days, right? That was 44 and a half years ago, almost 45 years ago. The next time had to do with my big fast, and I was fasting the 5-day fast, which I give Miguel props for that he made it. I was a little younger. I made it for 4 days and 17 hours. And the Lord spoke to me the next day because I'm an idiot. And he said, you cannot merit my love. You can't deserve the love. Oh, he's a good enough person. He deserves to be. The love of God is so powerful, so strong. It goes way past the ability of human capacity to deserve or to be in God being in any form indebted to owe somebody. God owes nobody his love. He gives his love because of his generosity. You can't merit his love. That's not the way it goes. Think about that. And so when we're praying, instead of thinking we have to be into performance or we have to do certain things, how about this? 1 John 5:13-15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. As soon as we do a really weird dance for hours and hours and hours and cut ourselves. No. there is a confidence that we are supposed to have in approaching God. Even in this text, it tells you, we ask anything according to his will. Well, what about stuff he asked for that's not in his will? The answer is no. Let's just solve that one real fast. But if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, it's done. Remember this. Never forget this. It only takes God to say yes, and it's done. As sure as the foundation of the world. When you pray, if God says yes, it's done. That is as solid as anything can ever be. So what is the problem that we would approach God thinking we have to dance, thinking that we have to do these? What's the problem? The problem is we have a faulty image of God. We keep thinking that God is this taskmaster, right? He's got a whip up there. Or for other people, thinking God's just an old man in a rocking chair. Well, kids will be kids, you know. Or they think that God is like on an airplane and doesn't have time to listen, or any of these other weird things. We need to break these false images of God that are in our minds. They are false images. They are lies. He isn't cheap. He isn't stingy. And he isn't working on OAC, on approved credit. That's not how it works. Jesus said this: ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, what did Jesus say people are? You are evil. What did Jesus say you are? You are evil. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We have got to break this weird imagey thing where we have to pry it out of God's hands. I don't know what relationship you had with your dad. I hope it was great. If it was bad, I'm sorry for that. But God is a perfect parent, better than your mind can conceive of what a perfect parent is, a perfect father. In his perfection as a parent, he knows exactly how to take care of his kids, and he is not evil. If parents can do a decent job from time to time and we're evil, how much better can God do who's not evil? And all of this that I just read you, Matthew 7, 7 through 11, the entire context is about asking God for things in prayer. So we got to break these false images of God. He's not the Grinch. He's not tight. He's not stingy. He's not cheap. He loves you. I told you the scripture before, Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He loves to bless his kids. Pray that way, not the Grinch way. Change your image. It's a lie anyway. You might as well change it. Don't fall into that kind of trap, okay? All right, in regards to the trivia question, Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal on which mountain. Was it Mount Hor, was it Mount Sinai, or Mount Carmel? And the answer is Mount Carmel. That sounds good. Mount Carmel, if you think of it that way. All right, folks, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. when you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Bottom line is what I'm about to share with you does not mean that churches are bad. There are a multitude of great churches. Jesus had an address to seven churches in the book of Revelation, right? Multiple of those churches were excellent. Everybody had something they can improve on, change, grow in. Only two of those churches were super, super bad. The idea behind that is never take what I'm about to share is how the church is at large. This is no indictment on the church of God, the bride of Christ. Never, never, never think of the church that way. The Lord God Almighty loves the church. If you don't love what God loves, if you don't love who God loves, that's a whole separate issue that you have to deal with. You understand that? Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We've got our trivia question, and then we have our jokes, and then we have our last little bit. So I think we've hit all our marks today, right? So
yep, far? Got it all done.
Wow, that's pretty good. All right, here you go. Here you go. The Bible first mentions which unit of measurement? So what's the first unit of measurement in the Bible? Is it the ephah, is it the drachma, or is it the cubit? The ephah, the drachma, or the cubit? Which is the first mention of a unit of measurement? Your reference, which should make this very easy, is Genesis 6:15. Okay. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Yes. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So the Bible makes a first mention of a unit of measurement. Is that the ephah? Is that the drachma? Or is it the cubit? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Do we have somebody for the triv already? Really? Wow. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, you're speaking to Frank.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
I'm glad to be alive.
Amen, brother. I think of that often, especially in my BC days. I really think of how true that is. It's like, wow. I am thankful myself, my friend. All right, you ready for this trivia question?
Boy, I hope so.
Okay, I'll set it up for you. I'll set it up for you, and then you launch into it when I set it up. Here we go. First, the Bible mentions the unit of which measurement first? That's how I should say it. The Bible, which unit of measurement first? Is it the ephah, is it the drachma, or is it the cubit? And your reference is Genesis 6:15.
I would guess the cubit.
That is correct, Armando!
Great Mundo.
You got it. That is exactly right, sir. Exactly.
That's... I'm on a roll.
Excellent job. Very, very good. That's very brave, but an excellent job.
Hey, I just want to thank all you guys down there and on the air there. And you make a very enjoyable show, a little bit of learning, and God bless you. Keep it up.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that very, very much.
All right, 10-4.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, excellent job. Okay, people. All right, and he's right. There's a little bit of learning. There's not a lot, but there is some. Speaking of not always learning, it's time for jokes. And then we'll close out the show. Excellent job, by the way. Yay, yay. Was that Frank's first call? I think that was. Was it?
I think so.
Yeah, nice. All right, three jokes. Let's see. They're about brothers and sisters and mommies, okay, kind of thing. All right. So let's keep that in mind. And they're all very, very short. Here's the first one. Elizabeth to her friend Melissa. My mom has the worst memory. Melissa, does she forget everything? Elizabeth, no, she remembers everything. So you didn't get that, did you? Did you get that? Oh, you didn't think that was funny? See, she's
it was
like,
okay.
Okay. I'm not even going to defend it. Here we go. The mother to Tommy. Tommy, why did you kick your sister in the stomach? Tommy, I couldn't help it. She turned around too quick. Yeah, all right.
You're killing me, Smalls.
All right, how about this one? Lizzie, Mommy, Zach broke my baby doll. Mommy, I'm sorry, sweetheart. How did it happen? Lizzie, I hit him over the head with it. Yeah, all right. Fair.
That last one was my favorite one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, Aunt Deb's saying that Frank's called times before. So if you did, Frank, I'm sorry. You know, but they sounded a little different. There could be more than one person named Frank.
Yeah, I know he doesn't call often.
Yeah.
Because I am.
But wait. Could there be one more person, an additional person named Frank?
There could be. Okay, I mean, Frank's a common name.
Okay. Not like Shalom David, but that's not the point. All right, here we go.
If the other Frank is listening, call in tomorrow.
That's how we'll cover it. Here you go. Here's the big thing. Ready? I don't know if you remember the movie Stripes where the guy goes, "That's the fact, Jack." Anyway, there's more kindness in God than you can imagine. So not only is he not the Grinch, which is such an unfair portrayal of how we act towards God, but Ephesians 3:20 says this. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Did you hear that? To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Can we just set this straight? God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask, or imagine. He can do so much more. So when you're sitting there praying, oh, let me get in by the, just barely get in, just by the skin of my teeth, the Lord always gives you even more. We've got to stop this attitude. God is not only is he not the Grinch, he's Mr. Generous. He's like the exact opposite. Here, look at this, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Now, how does that sound like somebody who's stingy? It doesn't. It's like, we've got to stop that. And I'm not, I know you guys, but I've been praying that same prayer for 15 years. We'll pray it for 15 more. Doesn't mean the answer is no. But some things require different approaches, and that's part of it. But stop thinking God's tight. Stop doing that, and I'll tell you why specifically. Because it introduces doubt in your mind, and doubt creates a double-mindedness, and a double-mindedness restricts the response. It's like, don't do that. God is generous. If the answer is no, the answer is no. If it's wait, then it's wait. But you have to trust him in that process. He's so generous. He gave up himself when you were nowhere to be found. Think of that. He gave himself up for you when you were nowhere close. That's how generous he is. So when we're praying, instead of these images of this God being tight-fisted or restrictive or all these other things, we got to get past that. Look, at this one passage, I think you can teach on this for a day, and we'd probably never grasp it. To him who was able to do immeasurably more than we all that we ask or imagine. So more than when we even pray for, more than our minds even tap into, according to the power that works within us, and then glory unto his name. But the whole premise here is that God is able to do immeasurably more. And if he didn't spare his son, gave him up for us, how is he not going to give us all the things that we need? Is he going to give you the things you don't need? No, a good parent wouldn't do that. But a good parent would do give you the things you need because a good parent loves you. And then in Luke 12:32, and I've said this the third time I've said this verse. It's amazing. Don't be afraid, little flock. Your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You see, that fear is where that doubt is where that double-mindedness is where that moment is where you lose the faith and you're praying and you go, and you don't even have to say, you can just feel it on the inside of you when you're praying. God saw it. God heard it. God sees it. I want you to do this one amazing thing. Since the Lord commands us, he says, ask, it'll be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be opened. Do that believing, expecting, trusting, having confidence in God as a giver. Forget all of the parental restrictions you've grown up with and all the authority figures that have restricted you in your mind, and think of God as the gracious, merciful, kind, giving, compassionate Father he is. Then pray and ask. See, that's how that works. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Thanks a lot for all the blessing that you give me. Thanks a lot for all the ways that you have cared. You must love me more than I understand.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.